This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And you know, I think we should change the name of this show to The Interview. I hear that name is available. The Interview. The interviews, plural. We do that every day on this program. And Kim Jong-un, if you're out there, if you want to come on The Takeaway, you can be assured of your physical safety and tougher questions than you'd get from James Franco on this program. So keep that in mind in Pyongyang. But let's start today's hour with a real question. Is terrorism now a form of comedy? What an odd note to end the week on, except this week has been all about defining what terrorism actually is. The U.S. has to decide if Cuba, for instance, is really a terrorist nation now. It's still on Washington's old axis of evil terror list. Pakistan has to decide if terrorism in India is somehow morally tolerable compared to the violence that killed more than 100 school children in Peshawar this week. No laughs there. And, well, there was a serious conversation about that with the former ambassador from Pakistan to the U.K. But Seth Rogen, fighter for freedom in North Korea, Rogen and James Franco's movie, directed by Rogen and Evan Goldberg, The Interview, has been described as a risky comedy challenging audiences to think about world affairs. Others have said it's just a cheap shot against a crackpot dictator nobody takes seriously, except perhaps the 25 million people being ruled and often starved under the Pyongyang regime. The Interview was targeted by cyber terrorists, as we know now. That was first funny because it allowed us to giggle about the weirdnesses of Sony executives in their leaked private emails. Then it was no joke. Threats of violence if people went to see this tale about a wacky assassination plot against the leader of North Korea. Then no movie. Sony pulled the plug. Stars outraged. A Japanese giant hobbled by threats reportedly from North Korea. And now the Obama administration says North Korea is indeed behind this attack. And a big Hollywood reveal of just how vulnerable the world might be to this plot line. Is this the new terrorism? Joining us is Thomas Hubbard. He served as U.S. ambassador to South Korea from 2001 to 2004. He's now the chairman of the Korea Society. Thomas Hubbard, welcome.
Hello. How are you, John?
This is good to be with you. I'm great. And this is a remarkable story to think about the issues between North and South Korea and North Korea and the rest of the world. As a diplomat, can you imagine being in a meeting where you'd have to say it is the position of the United States that Seth Rogen's political views are his own and we take no position on them, da-da-da-da-da? I mean, in some sense, a comedy has become an international diplomatic incident.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Something that began as almost a joke has turned into a very serious matter in which a major corporation has been seriously damaged. A movie has been stopped from being actually shown around the country. And I think very importantly, we've had what amounts to a terrorist threat. That is, that whoever is behind this, and most assumptions seem to point at North Korea, had actually threatened viewers who might have gone to the movie with physical damage, with an allusion to 9/11. So what began really as a joke has become something very serious, not funny at all.
And I suspect as a diplomat, you spent plenty of time talking about piracy in Asia and how the export of American movies is a huge sort of cultural stamp of the United States on the entire global economy. I'm wondering if, looking at all of that now, it seems as though our export of movies is also a huge vulnerability in the sense that we are at play in the movies that we release politically and the messages that come from those movies.
Well, in a way, we are facing a new world in which a small country like North Korea, with a fairly high technological capability, is able to, threaten real harm to an American, major American economic and cultural interest, and actually threaten harm to people. So, I've been to North Korea twice. I've had conversations with North Koreans that are not all that different from what you just said. And let me say, North Korea is no joke. It is a country that poses a number of serious threats. It has carried out several nuclear explosions. It has, with a partial success, launched multi-stage intercontinental ballistic missiles. It has repressed its own people in very serious ways, and now it's shown this this capability apparently with cyber technology that does create a new world.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because you mentioned the nuclear approach that North Korea took. It bought off-the-shelf technology from Pakistan and AQCON. It was in the AQCON network. I'm wondering if North Korea may have just purchased the hack here, basically contacted someone in the West or even in Japan to carry this out. And that would very much be their MO, based on your experience.
That could be quite true. Somehow they seem to have gotten sort of an initial edge into the computer system. I'm not not an expert in these things myself, but it could be they bought or stole their way into that.
And, you know, the other thing that's pretty disturbing about this from the perspective of a journalist, I would think, or a diplomat, I would think, and journalist for that matter, since journalists were pilloried in this movie, is how this bypasses the nation state. I mean, this is an international terrorist incident, one nation against a corporation, but in a nation that has already been targeted by terrorists, the United States. Japan has a unique relationship with Korea. I'm wondering if the fact that Sony did this as a multinational corporation quickly, before there was any ability of diplomats to basically intercede here and try to maybe work this out in some other way, does that herald a new world in the sense that you're going to have corporations dealing with countries and that, you know, the United Nations and the sort of traditional governance institutions in diplomacy are just out of the picture here, out of the loop?
Well, that's right. And this, of course, affects a number of countries, not only the United States, but Japan, which has been engaged with North Korea in trying to resolve some of the longstanding problems they have. It affects South Korea. It's one of the, I think, issues in going forward and trying to find out how to respond, what to do about this, is that it is going to require international cooperation in going forward. I think we have to be very sure we have the facts, that we're clear on what has happened, and we have to consult very closely with friends and allies like Japan and South Korea, as well as with other countries like China and Russia, who also have connections with North Korea.
But considering how rapidly this iterated itself into a global incident, it will take some redesigning of diplomacy to get into that pace of development, that's for sure. Thomas Hubbard, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thomas Hubbard served as U.S. ambassador to South Korea from 2001 to 2004. He's now the chairman of the Korea Society.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.